everything else out of the way so that he can move and operate the way he needs to in your life. Hallelujah. That's the cry of my heart today. I want to lay everything down and everything aside and make room for him. Hallelujah. And only him. There is no room. There should be no room for anything else but the Lord in our life. Hallelujah. That is my prayer this morning. And if it's not your prayer, it should be the cry of your heart this morning to make room for our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. That is the only way that we're going to be able to walk out his will for our life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You are good, God. Hallelujah. You are so good, God. We praise you this morning, Lord. We lift you up, God, because you alone are worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you are worthy, God. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your presence here today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. You can have your seats. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I feel the presence of the Lord in this place. Thank you, Jesus. If you haven't had an opportunity to give, I invite you to do so. There are several ways to do that. Please be obedient to whatever the Lord has called you to do. Before I begin, I just want to bless our offering and bless this service. So if you bow with me. Lord, we just come to you with humble hearts this morning. We thank you, Lord God, for this day. Although it's cold, Lord God, you've given us warm homes and warm cars and a warm building to sit in this morning, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your love, God. We thank you for your grace and mercy that has allowed us to be in this place right now. We ask, Lord God, that every penny, every dime, every dollar that comes into Christ Unveiled Ministries, that you would bless it, God, and just continue to multiply it, Father, to meet the many needs of not just this ministry, Lord God, but the needs of those around the world that are blessed, God, by what this ministry does. We thank you for that opportunity you've given us. And last but not least, Lord, I need you this morning. We all need you. But I need a special touch from you, Lord God, so that I can pour out, God, what you have poured into me. Help me, Lord God, to make room for you and the Holy Spirit this morning and to lay aside everything else that's not of you, including my flesh, God, so that you might work fully and totally through me to share the message that you have for your people in love. Open everyone's heart and mind to receive it, and we thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Hallelujah. God, you are good. I'm going to start in the book of 1 Peter, and I'm going to read chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." This morning, I want to spend some time speaking about what it means for us as believers, as Christians, to be separated unto God. Far too often, and you may think back on your life and remember this as well, people don't want to be a Christian. They don't want to be a believer. And their minds being separated from the world makes them feel like they're losing something. And even sometimes as Christians, we feel, you know, like we're missing out on something in the world because we chose to surrender our life to the Lord. Part of being separated unto God is not about what we do or don't do. This scripture right here helps us to know that it's about who we become in him when we choose to surrender our life to the Lord. Our complete identity changes. God's word tells us that we are chosen. We become a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people. In our English Webster dictionary, peculiar is not necessarily always a good thing. It may be interpreted as someone that's strange or someone that's weird. But in this text, in the Greek, peculiar means not strange or odd or unusual, but purchased and owned. You are a possession. It says preservation, which when we preserve something, it means to keep and protect or sustain. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26, the word says, "And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine." He severed us. He separated us for him, for his glory, for his purpose. We are his this morning. When you surrender your life to God, you no longer belong to yourself. You belong to the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." There it is again. We are separated unto God because we belong to him. Our separation is, it's rooted in ownership. It's not about obligation or even about our performance or what we do. You don't live separated to become his. You live separated because you are his. We focus so much on, should I do this? Should I do that? If we spent more time understanding and realizing what it means to be his. He said we have the Holy Spirit in us, the Holy Ghost in you. So if you've accepted Christ, that means you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you. Don't worry about doing it on your own because you now belong to him. You are now in his hands. You are separated unto him. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, he will teach you all things that you need to know. Far too often, like I said in the beginning, people struggle with their walk with the Lord. And you think about all the things you can't do. And I can't say this. And I can't go there. And I can't do this anymore. And I can't do all those things. When you truly surrender to that Holy Spirit that lives in you, you won't want to do those things. You won't want to go those places. You won't want to consume those things because you'll no longer be comfortable. You'll no longer have peace in them. Because you're now separated unto God. Ask yourself a question this morning. Is Jesus truly the Lord of your life? Is he? I can't answer it for you. You have to answer it for yourself. Is he truly the Lord of your life? Well, if he is, then that means you belong to him. So the things that you are doing in your life, the things that you say, the places that you go, do they honor him? It's not about is this right or is this wrong. That's not our mindset. That should not be our focus. Does my life honor him this morning? The one that I say I belong to, the one who I say is my Lord and my Savior. Do my conversations that I have with friends and family members and coworkers, do they honor him? The things that I do on a daily basis, my habits, do they honor him? Because if we're truly separated unto God, again, it's no longer about us, but it becomes all about him. And if your life does not honor him, You should ask yourself, do I really belong to him? Being separated unto God requires that we come out from the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, said the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you separate. That word in the Greek means to set off by boundary, to divide, to sever, to cut. Once we accept Jesus and his sacrifice, there are some things in our life, church, that we're going to have to cut off, that we're going to have to separate ourselves from. Maybe some friendships or unhealthy relationships that we've involved ourselves in. That word touch is not just about physically touching. In the Greek, that word means to attach. We have attached ourselves to some things that we need to let go of, that we need to sever in order to be separated unto God. There is no way that we can have the true intimacy and the relationship that we need to have with our Lord and Savior as long as we're flirting and holding hands with the world and the things in it. There must be a separation, not from the people in the world, but from worldly things, worldly thoughts, worldly mindsets, worldly habits, worldly things. You know all the things, the list of things that the Lord has delivered you from, if you choose to walk in that deliverance. But there may be something that you're still holding on to. I've given this testimony before, and it may not be your conviction, but it was mine. For 20 years, I was actively involved in a sorority and fraternity life. And before I started on that path, I remember I was at Baylor University undergrad, and I remember calling my papa, who was the pastor of the church that I was raised in, and asking him, was it right or wrong? And he asked me, you know, well, have you prayed about it? You know, what did you find in God's word about it? And I said, well, nothing definitive, but they do community service and all the list, the positive things about it. And he said, well, are there negative things? Because, you know, I've seen some things. And so I said, yeah, but I don't have to be a part of that stuff. I can just do the good stuff. I can just support the positive things. And over the years, you know, I involved myself in what I chose to be involved in. And because I remain attached to that, I was exposed to things and experienced things that I should not have as a Christian, as a believer in Christ. And I went on to pharmacy school and then pledged a pharmaceutical fraternity. And I mean, even like going through all the rituals and the things that you have to say and do to become a part of these things, something felt off. And I had believers in my life and my family that would question my involvement. And I would have a righteous indignation that would rise up in me against them. How dare they speak against this? God would tell me if something was wrong with it, you know. And I failed to realize that the Lord was using them, speaking through them to me. Because I had, maybe it was my self-preservation, but I had developed in my mind that being a part of that wasn't wrong. And it wasn't against God for me in my life. December 2019, I remember the exact day. I was on my way to work. And the Lord had been dealing with me for something about it, about something. I just felt far from the Lord, and I did not understand why. For years, I felt this, and I didn't connect it with the moment that I pledged that sorority, gave my pledge to it. And I didn't understand. I had been doing some reading and some studying about pledging our life to things and saying these oaths, and the word of God speaks against all of that, but I still rationalized it in my mind. But I started singing our national hymn in my mind. I didn't say the words out loud. out loud, but there's a sentence in there that says, I will forsake you. I will love you ever, and I will forsake you never. And right then, and I've sang that for years, but right then the Holy Spirit told me, I'm the only thing that you should love and never forsake. And immediately that conviction fell on me. And I said, okay. And I decided that morning on the way to work in tears. I could barely see. I was crying so hard. But I was thankful for the Lord being patient with me. For 20 years, I held on to something that should have been severed, something I never should have taken part in. And it took all those years, but thank God I finally was obedient to him. And from the moment when I tell you there was a load lifted off of me, I could feel it being lifted off of me. And after that, I went through prayer and I denounced and renounced all those things and all those oaths and all those pledges that I took, because I knew it was separating me from the intimacy that I needed to have with the Lord. And that may not be your story and that may not be your thing, but as believers, there are things and there are people and there are relationships and there are practices and there are ideals that we hold on to that we need to cut, that we need to sever. James 4 and 4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore we will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. John 15 and 19 says, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. To this day, there are women and men in those organizations who no longer even speak to me. Now, they've known for years that I'm a Christian and I love the Lord. And I made a public post. I called a few people. I sent some national emails. I wrote letters to the national organizations. I returned all of my pens. I destroyed all of everything that I had with those letters on it because I cut those ties. And I had people reaching out to me saying, what is wrong with you? What happened? You know, they just didn't understand because I was so faithful. I paid money. I held officer positions. I did all the things. And they didn't understand when I made the post that God said no. So I let it go. God told me that that was no longer supposed to be a part of my life. No condemnation to you if that's what you choose to do. But I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. So it didn't shock me. I was very hurt and I actually lost some sleep over it because these are people that I consider like family to me who cut me completely off. And that's what this scripture speaks about. The world loves its own. They hated him. So if you go against things of the world, they're going to hate you too. This walk is not always easy. Cutting off things from your life is not always going to be easy, but it's necessary if you want to be separated unto God. Revelations 18 and 4 says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not her plagues. We're all familiar with the book of Revelation and all the things that are going to happen in the end time. And if we decide, hey, I'm going to hold on to this, I'm going to continue to do this because I want to do it, despite what the Lord or the Holy Spirit is leading me to do, you may be like those spoken about in Revelation 18 and 4. You're going to be partaker of that sin, then you're going to receive the same result. You're going to receive the plagues as well. I want no parts of that. I'm looking forward to eternal life, not eternal death with the Lord. And have Ephesians 5 and 11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove them. Holiness is not perfection, saints. Not perfection, but we do live and move in direction. Not our direction, but the direction that the Holy Spirit is taking us in. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove. Reprove means to correct, but it's not a condemnation. It's correcting in love is what we're to do to those or for those around us. Exposing the darkness. Why? How do we do that? Because we have the light in us. And so if that light is shining the way it should be shining in darkness, it's going to expose. That light is going to expose it. And not just expose it, but draw it and lead it to the light, which is Jesus. So instead of compromising with the world, we show compassion and we allow that light to shine through us. Not in a condemning way, not in a self-righteous, prideful way, but in a loving way to show them and direct them to the truth, which is Jesus. Ask yourself another question. Are there areas in my life that still look like the world? Are there areas in my life that blend in with the world? Does the world love me because I'm a partaker of their sin? In John chapter 17, I'm going to read verse 15 through 18. This is Jesus speaking. He's praying. He knew that his time on the earth was short, and he went to the Lord in prayer on our behalf. And he said to God, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And thou hast sent me into the world. Even so have I also sent them into the world. Jesus is always is our perfect example. The perfect example of being in the world, but not of the world. Scripture talks about how he sat down with publicans and sinners, and he was ridiculed by the religious leaders in that day for doing so. They called him a gluttonous man in Luke 7 and 34, a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But Matthew chapter 9, 10 and 13 explains why Jesus did what he did. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, that they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Lord has called us so that we can be a light to sinners. Publicans, sinners, publicans were the tax collectors of that time, frowned upon, not looked highly upon at all. Think about some of the people you know in your family, your friends, the homeless person you may see on the street, the drug addict outside the convenience store. These people are not looked highly upon by society. But are we as believers approachable? Or are they repulsed by us and our pride and our self-righteousness and the condemnation that we put on them? Or are we like Jesus? They came and sat down with him. He wasn't railing at them and speaking out against them and all of the things that they were doing in a manner that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were. He spoke to them in love, as I was speaking about earlier, reproving them. Some people take the thought of being separated from the world as isolation. Jesus wasn't isolated. He was among them. He taught them. He showed them the love of God. Yes, we're separated from sin, but not necessarily sinners. How are they going to know the truth if we're not living it out, if we're not walking and talking it out, if we're not showing them the love of God? Because they may never pick up a Bible to read it. They may never walk into a church building to hear it. We talk to our children a lot about the things that they're going to experience and be around in these schools. And we explain to them that you're not there to imitate what you see. But rather, as a believer, we should be influencing those around us instead of imitating them. When Jesus walked this earth, his life convicted those who lived in sin. But it didn't bring condemnation. He didn't come for that. He didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So his presence brought healing. It brought deliverance. It brought salvation. It brought repentance. And our presence in the world should do the same thing, because we are an extension of him. As believers, sometimes, because it's uncomfortable, we compromise far too often. Jesus never compromised holiness. He never compromised his relationship with the Lord for the sake of those around him. Instead, he called them to walk the walk that he was walking. He called them to the standard of the Lord. And that's what we should do. Not condemn, not walk in pride or self-righteousness like we're better than or superior than those in the world. But understand that if not for the grace and mercy of God, you could be in that same situation or worse. So think about your life. Do people in the world, which include people in our family as well, do they feel comfortable coming to you with their brokenness? Do the lives that we live point them to healing, to repentance, to salvation, to deliverance? Or instead, are they pushed away from us because of our pride and the self-righteous spirit that we carry? Are we reflecting the Lord's holiness and his mercy in our life? Sometimes I don't think we understand that the world may not know love. They may not know mercy. They may not know grace unless they receive it from us. So it is important that we be obedient to what God has called us to be separated unto him for his will and his purpose in all of our lives. For his glory. That is the final reason that I'm going to share, that we are separated unto God for his glory. Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. That's it. We're called to be separated unto God because we belong to him, because he has called us out of the world But it's all for his purpose. It's all for his glory. The scripture says it. Who in there lights a candle in their house and puts it under something or closes it up? No, you put that, light that candle, or you turn on that flashlight so it can illuminate darkness. And that's what we're supposed to do as believers. Be that city on a hill, that place that people in darkness can comfortably come to. Be approachable, saints. Don't have a wall up like you're better than the world, but show the love of Jesus so that they'll want to come to you, because you have what they need. You have Jesus. You have the gospel. You have the light that they so desperately need in this darkness. Philippians 2 and 15 says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. God separates us from the world so that they can see us. If you're not separated from them, if you're not severed from them, if there's not a divide, you blend in. They can't see you because you look like them. So he has separated us unto himself so that the world can see us. And hopefully they see him in us. As I close, I have a final question. Depending on where you are in this message, how you were able to answer the questions, I want to ask if you're ready to make a decision. To decide today that you will live your life separated unto God, that you're going to surrender fully and totally to his ownership if you belong to God. And if you'll finally stop trying to be like this world, to try to fit in, to try to be comfortable in a world that you were called out of. Because if you are saved, his word, we just read it, you're called out of this world. He's preparing a place for us. This is not it. And if you want to see what he is preparing for us, you're going to have to separate yourself unto him. You're going to have to cut off those things. You're going to have to sever those ties, those habits, and surrender to the Holy Spirit that lives in you. Surrender to that ownership that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you'll bow with me, I'm going to pray. Lord, we love you this morning. And I believe we're all here in this building or watching online because we truly want to be separated unto you. We want to be obedient to you calling us out of this world. We want to be obedient to being approachable, not being condemning, but showing love, reproving evil things. We want to be the shining example that you were, Jesus, when you walked this earth. Help us, Father, to be a light in the darkness that surrounds us. Help us, Father, to deny our flesh and the things that we want so that we can truly carry out your will. Because as was mentioned, Lord, our lives are meant to glorify you. But we're not able to do that unless we fully separate from this world and consecrate and dedicate our life to you and your will for our life. So we ask God that you would just give us the strength that we need to do so. We need you, Lord. Please help us.
Heavenly Father, we just ask that you begin to show us, Lord. Show us the things that we need to separate ourselves from, Father. You are the good judge. You know what is right and you know what is wrong, Father. And you know what is good and you know what is God. So, Father, don't let us just settle for right or wrong, but help us to actually press in into what you have for us, not just what looks good, but what you have for us. Father, we just thank you for this word this morning. We thank you for truth. We thank you for life, Lord. Help us to be a people that stand out for you. Help us to be a people that have been separated unto you to do what you have called us to do, and only that. Amen. 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 Give the Lord just a clap for that word. That was a very good word. Amen. All right, so real quick, a couple of quick announcements. If you haven't given, as you know, we need your support, so please feel free to give. There are many ways to give, as you guys already know. Also, Christmas food baskets are now available. Last day to apply for one is December 20th, and last day to pick one up is the 21st. So if you are in need or you know someone who is in need, please go ahead and apply for the food basket. And you can do that by going online or seeing one of our food basket ministers here. Sister Board, who is not in the building right now, but she will be at the coffee bar. So feel free to see her and apply for a food basket. And last but not least, we want to do something special this morning.